grace. We thank you that while we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus, you died for us. Thank you, Jesus. There are no words in our heart to express our gratitude, but we want to say thank you, Abba. Thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross, and thank you for leaving us your Spirit. And we thank you for the great opportunity that it is to come here every week, Thursday and Friday, as sisters in Christ, united as one, to worship you, to declare your goodness, to open up our hearts, to learn more about your amazing character and about your great love for us, your children. So Lord, we thank you once again for another week. As we open up your word now, we pray that you would open up our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to receive what the Spirit of the Lord has in store for us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Please go ahead and take your seats. Welcome back to Women to Women. It's great to see you. A few folk have popped in there at the end. It's lovely to see you all this evening. Thank you very much. I was singing my heart out there, so I just need a wee drink. Thank you to Susan, who works so hard in bringing all the admin together and cut us all a fantastic deal during the week for 2024. Can you believe it? Hope ever after is still lingering, I hope. And we're already looking forward to 2024. But we've got lots of exciting things in between that. So please, as Susan has already encourage you to do so. Get your tickets. Things go very quickly at Women to Women. We don't want anyone to miss out. And to Gabriella, it's lovely to have Gabriella back with us also. So we're going to get straight into it this evening. We left Abraham back in Bethel, having returned to God after going a bit off course. But as we heard that he got back on track, the good news is he knew who to return to. We said that last week. We will fall. We all fall. We are human. The good news is, do you know who to return to? That we get back up again and we fix our eyes once again on the perfecter and pioneer of our faith, Jesus Christ. And we saw that wonderful moment where after he'd messed up, after he'd got back on track, that he returned to a heart of worship. So we are starting to really gain an insight into this man's character and his personality. We see that it isn't always straightforward, the faith-filled life, is it? No. It's not always like a walk in the park on a summer's day. Sometimes it can be a difficult journey. I wonder if this week has been a difficult week for you as you have journeyed through it. Let me encourage you, as we saw the encouragement that Abraham got last week from the Lord, that you do not journey alone, that the Lord is with you. Abraham was indeed walking closely with the Lord. That's what this ministry is all about. Susan's already shared it with you. It's to help women to develop and nurture a closer relationship with God, that we are able to walk closely with our Abba Father. Yes, we saw that Abraham made a mistake, a big mistake last week. But as we've already shared, because he'd been walking closely with the Lord, he knew exactly who to return to. He wasn't just walking with the Lord, though. He had a whole cloud of people walking with him. Do you like what I did there? Huge cloud of people. We heard in week one of this year that is, in fact, just a large group. He had a huge group following him. And we know that we, too, are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. The heroes of our faith that have gone before us, cheering us on. A wee link there to our motto scripture. So he was traveling with a group of people. We know he had a beautiful wife. We were introduced to her last week. Her name is, at this point, Sarai. We also know that he had servants because he had gained cattle. And we heard that last week. He was prospering livestock. So he had folk working for him, folk tending to all of that. Sarai would have also had maid servants. I mentioned last week that Hagar most probably came out of Egypt with her. And in particular, he had a nephew, and his name was Lot. So before we read the rest of chapter 13 of Genesis, I just want to pause for a moment, because we've talked there about the people that were in Abraham's life. And I want you to pause for a moment. I want you to shut your eyes so you have no distractions. And I want you to consider the people that are in your life right now. Your immediate family. Your in-laws. Perhaps your close friends. Those people that you do the day-to-day life with. Can you picture them in your heart? Who are they? Who are the folk that you sit alongside at work, perhaps? Your colleagues, your students, your clients, your partners. I wonder, are there other people in your life? People that you haven't seen for a while. People that you miss. You know, we were made for relationship. How are you doing in your relationships? How are your relationships at present? As you consider those people in your heart right now, there will be those ones that bring a smile to your face. Leaps of joy in your heart. But perhaps as you consider your friends and your family, your nearest and your dearest, perhaps there are some folk, or maybe just one, that you've recalled to memory tonight. But that one's causing you pain right now. Okay, you can open up your eyes. I wonder, have you been using the tips and the tools that we have been suggesting now for many, many years at Women to Women about how to create and make way for healthy relationships? You see, we have studied relationships many, many times here at Women to Women. I don't have time to go into all those tips and tools this evening, but for those of you that keep your journals, you might want to get them back out again. Some of you might want to go back to the relatable series that we did quite a few years ago now by Louis Giglio. That is a really good series. It's a really good book, actually, if you're really interested in making way for healthy relationships, or perhaps you're struggling with relationships right now. So I just want to pray, just right now at the offset, because right now, after you've pondered those people and those situations, I feel it's right that we just pray for a moment before we enter any further into this series this evening. So let's just close our eyes once again. And let's just bow our heads and our hearts right now. And Lord God, we just want to bring any relationship or any individual that perhaps is causing us pain right now. Lord, we just bring that person before you now. Perhaps we've been estranged from that person. Perhaps there's been trouble and conflict. Just in your own heart right now, just bring that individual before the Lord. Before we hear God's word on all of this evening, we just want to release that individual, that hurt, that pain, that situation, that experience that we've had recently to you, Lord God. And we're asking, Father God, that right now, if there's any anger, any hurt, any betrayal, any bitterness or resentment in our heart right now for that individual, we're asking, Holy Spirit, right now, by your power, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear tonight. So, Lord, we're asking that you remove the anger and the bitterness and the rage and the resentment so that we can hear. Because sometimes, Father God, we are guilty of not hearing what you have to say because we're so angry, or we're so hurt, or we're so broken. So we're asking, Holy Spirit, right now, we really want you to do a work in our hearts tonight. We really want to make way for healthy relationships, God. We want to see these broken relationships mended this evening. So Holy Spirit, right now, we're bringing them to you right now, and we're asking you, Lord God, just to take that unhealthy, raw emotion that we have towards that person right now so that we can hear from you this evening through this teaching. And all God's daughters said to that prayer, amen indeed. So let's read chapter 13, shall we? So, Abraham went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. Abraham had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. From the Negev, he went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier, and where he had first built an altar. There Abraham called on the name of the Lord. We looked at this last week. Now in verse 5. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abraham, also had flocks and herds and tents. But the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. Verse 7, look at what happened. Quarreling arose between Abraham's herders and Lot's. The Canaanites and the Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. So there was opposition also. So Abraham said to Lot, let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herders and mine, for we are close relatives. What is he saying? He's saying, we're family. We are family. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Lot looked around and he saw that the whole plain of the Jordan towards Zoar was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. He just came from there. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. We'll get to that. Verse 11. So Lot chose for himself, look at that there, Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan, and he set out toward the east. The two men parted company. Abraham lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. Verse 14. The Lord said to Abraham after Lot had parted from him, look around from where you are, to the north and south, to the east and to the west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. So Abraham went to live near the great trees of Mamre at the Hebron, where he pitched his tents. There he built an altar to the Lord. May God bless the reading. I always find this a really interesting section. For remember, Abraham was once facing a famine. We heard that just last week. They were starving. He got scared. He tried to sort it out for himself. He ended up in Egypt. That ended in disaster. And he had the sense to return back to God and get back on track. It's also interesting because, as I mentioned last week, that we studied Ruth last year. And we know that Naomi was in a very similar situation, facing destitution, nowhere to turn. But she, like Abraham, returned to the Lord. We saw that in our series last year. Here we have the same thing taking place in Abraham's life. He returned to the Lord, like Naomi did. He returned to the heart of worship, like Naomi did. And here we see him prospering. Do you see that? He's facing famine, destitution, stepping out of God's will, but when he returns to the Lord, now we see he is prospering. And it's not just him that is prospering. His family are prospering. His servants are prospering. You see, when we are in the direct will of God and we are walking in the steps that have been ordered for our life for God, by God, it's not just you will be in receipt of the blessings of the Father, but so too can your children be, and your grandchildren, and your full family, your whole households. And we see the same thing happening here. They've got land, and they've got livestock, and they've got money. You know, when we trust and obey God, when we walk in His path for our life, it's not just because of His great love for us, that it's just for us, but He's got a great love for those that we love, for those that we care about. So we see a season of prosperity. Now, you would think that this would be wonderful. You know, as pastors, we pray for increase, we pray for growth. And we're seeing that here at Moss Vale in this particular church. We're seeing it at Women to Women. And it's great when you see it. But sometimes there are also problems come with growth. Problems come with growth because we have more kids, so we have to get more volunteers in the kids' connection. We need to find chairs for people to sit on. You know, it's good problems. But problems come sometimes when there's growth. Expansion comes and we need to find ways to meet that expansion. And what happened here was that there was expansion and there was prosperity. However, it sadly brought about jealousy. Jealousy sets in. Jealousy and greed, bickering and quarreling. You know, we learn that it wasn't just Abraham that was expanding, but his family too was expanding. Lot's servants, they were doing well. And here's the thing, Lot was taken under Abraham's wing in the first place. He took him. He was his mentor. He was his uncle. He was the one that was showing him how to do it. And here we have him prospering also, a direct result of Abraham. However, conflict, bickering has broken out between their herdsmen. Their two groups of workers basically are fighting. Now, it's a different fight than what we might have. You know, they're fighting over cattle and land, and that's my bale of hay. But we might fight with folk at work. That's my stapler. She took the 12 o'clock lunch again. She's always getting the 12 o'clock lunch. You know, when's it going to be my turn? They were arguing over sheep and lands, where my sheep will graze. You beat it. You go over there. That's my feeding trough. Petty bickering, selfishness, jealousy. It's all in there. Discontent in the camp. We brought those relationships in our own lives just a moment ago before God. And perhaps you feel a bit like Abraham feels here in the story. Tired. Tired of all the bickering. Tired of all the angry words. Tired of all the he said, she said, that's mine, you did this to me. Tired of it all the unhelpful, unhealthy talk. I wonder, am I speaking to anyone this evening, that it really is getting you down? You've grown weary of it all. So what can we learn from this section of our story of Abraham, our friend? But what happens here? Well, we've talked already in this series about what it means to be a friend of God. Abraham was referred to as a friend of God. We heard last week that that starts with a belief, about believing in God, believing for us in Jesus, our Savior. It involves communion with Him. It involves praying to God just like you would pray to a friend, bringing that situation to God in prayer. I wonder, have you done that? We did it this evening, but have you been praying for that relationship? So we know that that's the type of relationship that Abraham had with God. He was walking closely with his father every day. In fact, it was because of this relationship that Abraham was seeing the fruits, because he had been walking recently with the Lord. What about Lot, though? What do we know about Lot's relationship with God? You see, we can talk quite a bit about Abraham's relationship with God because we see it, we read it in the passages so far. But what does the passages tell us about his nephew's relationship? Well, let's go back to the initial call when God called Abraham. Genesis 12 and verse 4 says this: Abraham went, God calls, Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. God calls Abraham, and Abraham goes, and Lot goes with Abraham. Now, this may be familiar to some of you because Madeline actually preached a very similar sermon on this quite a few years ago. So I'm stealing some of her notes this evening. Abraham went. Let's read chapter 13, verse 5. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abraham, also had flocks and herds and tents. Do you see what's taking place here? Abraham is walking with the Lord. He's praying to the Lord. He's developing an up-close and personal relationship with the Lord. He is hearing from the Lord. He is responding to the Lord, obeying the Lord. Lot, we don't see listening to the Lord. We don't see a communion between Lot and God. We see Lot following Abraham. You see, God spoke to Abraham because his ears and his eyes and his heart was open to receive from the Father. It doesn't say anything in here about Lot positioning himself to hear from God. Lot was not following God. He was following Abraham. And as much as Abraham was a good guy, and we're calling him a hero, he's not the one to follow. And we're going to study the heroes of our faith this year, but they're not the ones that we're ultimately looking to. They're not the ones that we want and desire and need to listen to and follow and obey. It's God. It's God. You know, I was at a pastor's meeting this morning, and one of the pastors said something that really struck me. He said, you know, when we get folk to come to our church and they say, I went to that church and my whole life has changed. And you get that. Church changes us, but we don't want church to change people. We want Jesus to change people. You know, it's really important that we have an encounter with Jesus. Abraham had an encounter with God. Lot was simply following Abraham. At this point, anyway. But at this point, you could almost describe Lot's relationship with God as quite shallow. It was quite superficial. There was no real intimacy. Let me tell you something. If you want to go deeper with God, if you want to learn more about God's character, you need to lean in. You need to spend time with God. You need to pray. You need to open up his word. You learn about his character if you read his words. You need to spend time with him. Any relationship, and we're talking about relationships tonight, if you want to increase that intimacy within that relationship or improve that relationship, you need to spend time with that individual. Nothing's going to change when there is distance. It can't happen like that. There needs to be communication. To enjoy and pursue an intimate relationship with God, we need to spend time with him. It's as simple as that. Abraham was in a close relationship with God. It was authentic. Lot wasn't. at this stage. His faith, you could say, was like an overspill of Abraham's faith. You know, when I'm praying for young folk in the church, or as I've prayed for my own children from babies since they were born, I pray often that they would have a real, authentic, up-close and personal relationship with God, especially if you've got kids and you're in Christian leadership, for instance, or you're the pastor, or you're the elder, or you're here in church and there's like three generations and there's the chalks are like that, aren't there? There's grannies and granddads, mums and dads, then you've got the sons and daughters, and they're four generations, in fact, in many families within church. But we don't want our kids to come to church just because dad's the pastor or mum's the pastor or so-and-so's the men's ministry leader. We want our kids to come to church because they have entered into a real, authentic, up-close and personal relationship with God. We don't want them to speak to God through granny. Although thank God for praying grannies and praying mummies. But we want them to develop an intimate, up close and personal relationship with God for themselves. So if you're praying for young people, let's pray for them. Let's pray that they would have an up close and personal relationship with God, that it would be real, it would be authentic, it would be first hand, and it wouldn't be an overspill of ours. Although there's nothing wrong with us being an influence. Don't misquote me there. I think it's good that we're role models. I think it's good that they looked up to you and I as role models in the faith. We don't want our kids to go through life coasting in their relationship with God. We don't want to coast in our relationship with God. So we don't want that shallow, superficial relationship that sometimes happens, that wishy-washy, shallow faith. We need to draw closer to God. And if you feel that you're here tonight and you're falling into that, can I encourage you, as we finished off last week, get back to the heart of worship. So is your faith and is your trust in God your own? Have you made that decision to follow Jesus Christ for yourself? You see, some folk will say, I'm a Christian because my mummy and my daddy were a Christian. That doesn't make you a Christian. You can sleep in a garage. It doesn't make you a car. Like that one. You know, you become a Christian when you make that decision for yourself that I want to live for Jesus. That I want to invite Jesus into my life. That I have prayed a prayer that says, Jesus, I love you. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. That's how you develop an up-close and personal relationship with God for yourself. So both these men had very different relationships with God at this point. And now they have hit a crisis in their relationship. Now it's interesting to see the behaviors and the responses of both the men, especially when we compare who's in an up-close and personal relationship with God in a conflict situation and who's the one that isn't. You know, this is never easy. Relationships, when they are going well, brilliant. Relationships, when they break down, painful, disappointing, quite frankly, heartbreaking. They're worse when they're within your close-knit family, and it feels worse also when it's a brother or a sister in the faith that have let you down. It stings. It cuts to the core. Well, as you would have guessed, Abraham sees sense. He comes up with a solution. He comes up with a solution that will make a way for peace. Because let's be honest, that's what we want. We want peace in our relationships. That is our ultimate aim, is to have peace in our relationships. So verse 8 again, Abraham said to Lot, he's the voice of reason. He's the one that comes up with the solution. Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herders and mine. For we are close relatives. That relationship had broken down, but Abraham was the one that was walking with the Lord, and he was the one that knew that he had to make a way for peace. He comes up with a solution that Lot will go and have that land and I'll have this land. He is basically being the bigger man. He's being the bigger man. He's the first to say, do you know what? Let's sort this out. Let's make peace. Tonight's session is called Let It All Go. Sometimes we just got to let it go. Sometimes we've just got to give up the fight. Sometimes we've just got to do whatever it takes to make a way for peace in that relationship. And that might mean that you have to make the first move. It might mean that you have to be the peacemaker. Now, you might not be the one that started it. Abraham did not start this. Abraham took them on a journey to follow God. Abraham prospered, which meant that they prospered. It was the herdsmen that were fighting. It was Lot that wanted the bigger land. It wasn't Abraham. But Abraham knew that he had to be the peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers, as they shall be called children of God. Matthew 5 verse 9. Jesus didn't say, let's be peacekeepers. Didn't say that. Doesn't say that in scripture. Keep the peace. No. Jesus, as he sat on that mountain, as he delivered that sermon, he says, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the ones who make a way for peace. You may have not started the fight, but you're going to finish it. But you're going to finish it God's way, by making a way for peace, because we're family. Lot was a numpty. He was an absolute numpty. It's not in the Bible, that phrase. As far as I'm concerned, he was. But Abraham, he knew how to seek God. And when you know how to seek God, you know God's character. And when you know God's character, you know that the Father is saying to you tonight, you need to be the peacemaker. Because you'll be waiting forever for that other person because they're not listening to me. That's that one particular scenario. It's a completely different sermon if you're both Christians. We'll come back and do that one another night. But let's be honest. How many of you have been here in this very situation? But pride and stubbornness has held you back. Tonight's session is about letting it go. You've got yourself in knots. I'm not saying sorry. Hell will freeze over before I say sorry. It wasn't actually my fault. He did it. She said it. But look at this. It wasn't his fault. But he's the one that says, let's sort it out. Let's sort this out. So how did Lot respond? Well, his response is as expected. He looks around, he looks at the land, and he goes, okay, I'll have that big luscious bit over there. That big patch of land that looks green and lovely. Never mind the fact that he's there and prospering in the first place because of Abraham. Because of Abraham, he's in this wealthy position in the first place. He doesn't humbly say, oh, uncle, thank you. Thank you for making a way for peace. And I'll just take this wee bit and you can have all of that. He doesn't do any of that. He's an umpty. Now, when I read that, I'm a bit like, Abraham, kick him up the butt. Kick him up the butt. He deserves it. Teach him who's boss. But Abraham just chooses to let it go. Sometimes we just got to let it go and receive your peace. He knows that God's already promised him, you're going to be all right. I've already promised you that I will bless you. You don't need to worry about your future. You don't need to worry about tomorrow. I've got that sorted for you. Just you make peace with him and you'll be all right. You'll be okay. God has called us to be peacemakers, not peacekeepers. Keeping the peace is not always the right way. At times we have to have that honest, frank conversation to get to the root of the problem. That can be uncomfortable. But there's no way to peace unless we do that. We can do that with the Holy Spirit. He can prepare the ground for us. He can prepare the opportunity. He can prepare the moment that we're going to sit down across the table with that individual and make way for peace. So I wonder if there is a relationship in your life right now that has broken down. Maybe you've been trying to keep the peace. Maybe you've just been avoiding the individual. Maybe you're afraid of having that conversation. Perhaps you're afraid of losing them if you actually open up the conversation and say, you've hurt me, but I want to move forward. Maybe you're scared that you'll lose them if you have to do that. But can I encourage you that if you don't do that, you're just going to continue to have a heart that will perhaps lead to resentment and bitterness and further pain. The Lord wants to make an opportunity for you to make a way for peace. Now that might mean that you might need to hear some home truths also. We need to be prepared that when we're going to let it all go, that we might hear things in return that might fire us up again. They might say, ah, but you did this. Letting it go means let it go. You know, my mum taught us as children, when we say, I'm sorry, you don't say, I'm sorry, but blah, 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 blah. My mum always used to say, it's, I'm sorry, full stop. Full stop. We don't drag it back. In fact, maybe you're here tonight and you can't actually even remember what the fight was about in the first place. And that's sad. That's sad. It's time to make way for peace. Now, not always will that relationship return to normal. In some cases, if the relationship has broken down badly, it will never return to the way it was. When we make a way for peace, it doesn't mean that you have to go right back in to a toxic relationship, for instance. New boundaries are formed. Abraham and Lot went their separate ways, but they did so in peace. They didn't live every day with each other after that, chatting the next door, can I get a pot of sugar, and that was over. He went his way, and he went his way, but they did so in peace, because Abraham made sure of it. Sometimes we need to consider the grander picture. What is it doing to you, holding on to all that hurt and pent up resentment and anger? Wouldn't it be healthier for you to let it all go? In the grander scheme of things, when we consider eternity, is it really worth holding on to that dispute that started in the first place? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the ultimate peacemaker. So if you need advice or help in how to make a way for peace in your relationships, yes, I can help you. You can make an appointment and come in and see me. We can pray for you at the end. But let me tell you something. Jesus is our wonderful counselor. And all you need to do is what we did at the beginning, is bring that relationship before God. Why don't you spend some time this week bringing that individual before the throne of grace and mercy? Why don't you find some scriptures this week that you can pray over them? Pray for them. Pray blessing. I know it's hard when you're really angry, but keep doing it. Fake it till you make it. Pray blessing over them. Cover them every day this week in prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to prepare your heart for an opportunity. And it might not be tomorrow. I'm not suggesting that you all go home tonight and phone that individual up tomorrow. For some of you, it might be you pick the phone up tomorrow or you go and chap the door tomorrow. Let us know how you got on with that. But it might need some preparation. You might need to fast about this. You might need to spend a bit of time on this. But what's really important that you make a start to make a way for peace. And maybe you're here tonight and your relationships are just fine. They're great. Then can I encourage you to spend time this week in giving thanks to God? Giving thanks to God for your friendships. Friendships are so beautiful. They're so sweet. We thank God for godly friendships. Spend time this week giving thanks to God for your family. Pray blessing over them. Find scriptures that you can pray over them. If it's your children, sneak into their bedrooms when they're at school and pray blessing and read verses of scripture over their bedroom. Spend time with your husbands this week if you've got a husband. Have communion together. Pray blessing over each other. So what have we learned this evening, this particular week, about Abraham, a friend of God? Well, we see very clearly that Abraham developed an up-close and personal relationship with God. He walked with God. He communed with God. He spoke to God in prayer. When the tough days came, he knew exactly who to return to. He knew exactly who to bring his concerns and his problems to. And because of that, because he had a real, authentic, up-close and personal relationship with God, he was able to be the bigger man. He was able to say, do you know what? This fight's not worth it. I'm going to let it all go. Because you see, God has promised me that he will be with me, that he will look after me, and he will take care of me. So as we come to the end of session 3 this evening, I wonder if there is a relationship that you need to make peace in, if there is something that you just need to let go. Now this, as I said, is maybe not for everybody tonight, but if this is for you tonight, if there is a relationship in your life that you need a little bit of help with, which what you're saying tonight is, I need you, Holy Spirit, to help me. Maybe make a decision. Maybe make a way for peace. Maybe you want to just ask God to show you how to communicate with that person. Maybe the communication's not been great. Well, what I'd like you to do just now, I'd like everybody to close their eyes right now. I'm going to ask you to do something very brave. But if God has spoken to you tonight, and if you want to say, right, God, I'm inviting you into this relationship because I believe that I need peace, Lord. I want you to stand up. Just stand up where you are. If there's a relationship in your life, God sees you. And if you need help tonight with that relationship, if you're looking for God to give you guidance and leadership in that relationship, just stand up. Yeah. He sees you. Just stand up. I'm going to ask one more time. If you're sitting here, maybe you're afraid to stand up. Maybe you feel embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. Everyone's eyes are closed. Just one more time now. If this message tonight is for you and you would like to see peace in that relationship, stand up. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your living word. We thank you that it is alive because our Savior Jesus is alive. We thank you that it is truth because we can trust you. We thank you, Father God, that these are your words. That your word says that blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. I want to thank you, God, for the peacemakers standing in the house tonight. I want to thank you, Father God, for their boldness and for their courage to say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need your help. Wonderful counselor, I am praying tonight, God, to you to help me in this relationship. Lord, I am asking you to give me wisdom, Lord God, and how to live in this relationship. Lord, I'm asking you to give me the words of peace to speak in this relationship. Lord, I'm asking you to give me direction in what to do. Whether it's to pick up the phone, whether it's to write a letter, Lord God, whether it's to continue to pray some more. But Lord God, I am giving this relationship, I am giving this individual, I'm handing them over to you tonight. I'm asking you, Lord, to undertake in this situation, in this relationship, because Father, I am weary with it. I am broken with it, Lord God. And I can't do it on my own. I need you, Jesus. Help me, God, to release pride tonight. Help me, God, to release bitterness, anger, and rage. Help me right now, Father God, by your Spirit, to forgive them. I choose to forgive them right now. Tell them, I choose to forgive that person right now. And when I see them next, that pain's not going to be there. That frustration's not going to be there. Lord, help me to see that you love that person just as much as you love me. Help me to see, Father God, that the other person at the other side of that fence is not them, but it's the enemy. And that me and that person are actually on the same side. So tonight, help me to invite them over to my side. Because I want to make a way for peace, Lord. And I want to see that relationship restored in a healthy way. And Lord, I'm praying in faith, believing that that relationship can become something quite beautiful. So Lord, I give you them tonight. I ask you to bless them tonight, Lord God, wherever they are. Whatever they're doing, I pray that right now that they would feel and experience an incredible move of your peace, that you would soften their heart right now. Lord, bless them, keep them, make your face to shine upon them, be gracious to them, Lord, turn your face towards them, and if they don't know you, Lord, may they know you, and may they know how much you love them, and Lord God, would you help me to love them the way you love them. So I thank you, God, that you are full of compassion. You are abounding in love. You are slow to anger. You're full of grace, and I ask you to help me to be the same. I thank you for your gentleness, Lord God. I thank you for your truth this evening. And this I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Tough one tonight for some. If you need some advice or some further prayer this evening, the prayer ministry team will be at the cross. We'd be more than happy to pray with you or any other prayer needs or requests that you have. Can I ask you though, if you're not staying for prayer, I know you love a wee natter, but can I ask you to have a wee chatter in the cafe so that we can minister to people in the quiet and in the privacy in here? Corinne's here this evening. If you have got £10 and you'd like to book your fitness fellowship fundraiser ticket, easy for me to say, then you can see Corinne tonight. If you don't have £10 on you tonight, don't leave without getting the bank details, because you can actually put your name down for a ticket, and then when you get home tonight, you can open up your online banking and you can transfer your £10 over for your ticket. Okay, we're back on tomorrow at 10 a.m. If you know